The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
How did I get here? This isn't what I thought my life would be like. How did I get to this place?
Next, gifted Bible teacher and inspiring women of faith speaker Sheila Walsh opens our eyes to God's unchanging promises.
Whether the storm is blowing outside, or whether you wake up and the sun's rays are bright in your face, I am your shelter.
Finding shelter in God's promises, next on Life Today.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty and this is James.
And I just love this title of a book, The Shelter of God's Promises. Now, that's living in the shelter and the shadow of the Almighty. That's what this book's about. And Sheila Walsh wrote it. I don't know anyone, and she'll tell you this, who was more desperate for a shelter, who needed it anymore. And this is a religious little church girl, you know, like a television host when she really, a Christian television host and a great singer in Billy Graham crusades. And yet she had to find a shelter. And you know something? She just keeps walking in that presence and learning. She hasn't arrived. And on her journey in his presence, in the shelter, she's been able to address the very things that challenge so many of you. Welcome Sheila Walsh back to Life Today. She's one of our most popular guests. Sheila, glad to see you. Well, I have literally been caught up in my prayer time and study into the presence of God with a greater understanding of His presence. Not like go to heaven, but heaven, the power of His presence. You know, we prayed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom come. That didn't mean get out of here and go to heaven so it'll be like it is in heaven. He said on earth, in the here and now. And when I saw this, I think you really understand what it is that I'm coming to understand. And we're just kind of walking in this light with a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I read an article that's on your website. Is it jamesrobison.net?
Yep, that's it.
And it was fascinating. I mean, the more I read it, the more I connected with it. Because I remember the actual title.
This is the one about the blind dog?
It's the one about the blind dog. So the dog got me initially.
Yeah.
But the fact that you would get down on your knees, because a man recognized you as the man who prays and asked you to pray for this little dog, and the kingdom of God showed up in this
office depot. It was amazing. You know, here's the thing. He said to his dog, when he just saw me, I said, what a cute dog. And he said to the dog, that's the man that needs to pray for you. And I thought,
he understood someone who understood kingdom,
and this man prayed, and he said, my dog's blind. Mm-hmm. Well, we got out on the floor and had us a prayer meeting, and I'm telling you, the glory of God showed up. Mm-hmm. And this is the way everybody can live, and this is what I see here. I want you to tell us about the book. I want you to kind of tell us about your journey in kingdom presence and reality.
If you were born in Scotland, as I was, if you're a student in Scotland or England, between 15 and 18 years of age, you can do this thing called the Duke of Edinburgh's Award, which is something the Queen's husband gives out every year. You do the bronze level, silver, and if you complete the gold level, you go to Buckingham Palace and you're presented with this gold award by the Queen's husband. So I was almost finished with my gold level. All I had to do was spend 3 nights on a Scottish mountainside in a single tent, cook my own food, heat my own water, no matches. I did well the first night. The second night, the storm was blowing so wildly, I couldn't light it. So I got into my tent, and I was reading that wonderful Psalm of Ascent, Psalm 121. I looked to the hills, where does my help come from? And reminding the Lord He'd promised not to sleep while I was sleeping in this rough mountain. But in the middle of the night, I woke up at 2 a.m, and somebody was lying on my tent. And it's a very small tent, so I put the flashlight out, and I thought, I don't know who it is. So I pulled myself out, shone the flashlight in their face, and saw that it was a huge Scottish Highland sheep that decided to park there for the night. And I thought, well, I can't get back in with the sheep, and the sheep was not going anywhere. So I pulled my sleeping bag out, and I remembered I'd seen this little kind of cleft in the rock, earlier on when I've been looking for a place to pitch my tent. And so I got my sleeping bag and I got in there. And even though the wind was howling and the rain was whipping, just the angle of the shelter, I was completely safe. And I fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning with the sun rising over the Cairngorm Mountains. And I kind of crept to the edge and I felt the Lord say, Sheila, from this moment on, this is how I want you to live. Mm. Whether the storm is blowing outside or whether you wake up and the sun's rays are bright in your face, I am your shelter. It doesn't matter what life looks like, whether the storm's outside or the storm's inside, I am your shelter. And I want you to live like this for the rest of your life.
Wow, and you know what I saw when you see that? I'm seeing all these visions. It's really actually kind of fun. It's kind of like just running conversation with the Lord. But I'm seeing you finding the cleft of the rock because the sheep were just laying there by you. And really, there's a lot of sheep laying around instead of standing up in the light of the shepherd.
That's right.
But you were driven to the cleft of the rock. You found out that sleeping sheep who are not necessarily being a comfort could drive you to your source of comfort. When you came out, you heard from the source of comfort. Here's the thing. Here's the point I get. When I'm listening to her story, I'm trying to listen to other lessons I might get along with what she's saying. And that is, don't let anyone else distract you from where you need to go to get your shelter. Go find it. I mean, it may be some big old sheep in your way, laying on you, and being a nuisance, or not being a help, but go to the rock. And Sheila, this whole book, I want to read, if you don't mind, I want to read some of these words and then the subheading in the chapters, because this is basically what you're talking about. You take the word promises, promises. I need something to hold on to. Provision, I don't have enough. Peace, I'm afraid, I feel alone. Confidence, I can't see God's plan in this pain. That's powerful. Even when I read these titles, I felt like I was identifying with people who are saying, I can't see God in all this pain. And I can feel that because I'm able to identify with people suffering. And then you talked about love. I don't believe that anyone could really love me. Grace, I have failed. Haven't we all? Don't get stuck there. Mm-hmm. His grace will lift you beyond all the pits that you dug by your own mistakes. Hope, I'm broken. Strength, I feel things are crashing around me. More, I know there's something better. Home, I have a future. How about taking off on peace?
You know, the thing that I love about peace is Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. We hear a lot of talk about that, don't we? You know, peace talks, and we're trying to find peace between this nation and that nation. Jesus made it very clear, because think about when he said that to them. This was the last time Jesus is sitting around a table with his friends. Now, they've expected Messiah is going to look one way. They think they're remembering back to, you know, for unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders. They think Messiah will come riding into Jerusalem and destroy the Romans. But Jesus knows something is about to happen that will make you think it's all gone wrong. Because I'm about to be betrayed, I'm about to be arrested, I'm about to be brutally murdered, and you're gonna think it's all gone wrong. Here's what I want you to understand about peace. In this world, you will have trouble. And the word he uses for trouble is, it's a Greek word, eteraxon. It means like a perfect storm. Mm-hmm. In this world, there's gonna be some perfect storms that you think, I cannot make it through this one. But take heart, which is an instruction. Come on, Betty, come on, Sheila, come on, James. Take heart, I have overcome the world. See, we think if God shows up and life goes smoothly, then God is with us. And Jesus said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. It's a different thing. When my kingdom invades your life, it doesn't matter if you're in the storm or in the cave or in the sunshine. When I speak peace to you, you can know peace no matter what's going on around you.
Wow.
Think about when they were in the boat, going across Galilee. Jesus is exhausted. He's been teaching all day. He falls asleep in the bow of the boat. A storm gets up. And they eventually wake Jesus and say, don't you care we're about to drown? And Jesus stands up, kind of shakes his head, says, peace, be still. And they said, who is this man? That even the seas obey him.
Wow.
So when Jesus speaks to storms outside your life, they have to obey. But what about inside your heart? People listening in right now, the minute that boat touches the shore, there's a man, we call him the Gadarene demoniac, who is absolutely out of his mind, lives in the caves, lives among the dead. That's a part of the Sea of Galilee that no Jew goes to. Pagan land. They have all this animal worship. They slaughter pigs. So it's an abhorrent place to the Jews. But the minute that Jesus sets foot on the shore, this demon-possessed man runs to Jesus. He's never heard of Jesus. But for the first time in his life, the demons step back because they know who he is. Mm-hmm. This man doesn't know who he is, but they know who he is. Mm. And for the first time in his life, he feels the possibility of peace. Mm. You know, if you've been tormented by demons, and in a moment, because of the presence of a stranger on the shore, they all go inside you and recoil, and suddenly it's like there's a glimmer of light. This man runs to Jesus and falls at his feet. So whether Jesus speaks to the storm outside your life or the storm inside your heart, when he speaks, they have to obey.
Wow. And I'm telling you, I know that peace is here in me. And Sheila, I have a longing for it for them.
Absolutely.
So if I have that longing, imagine how much more so God, which is the reason you would write about the shelter. And it's the reason that this love and life flows out of you, because you've had the need, just like I have, for that peace that the world can't give. Mm-hmm. And you found it.
Absolutely.
And you want it for others.
And what I love is that it's not dependent on our circumstances. So often we think, if I could just get out of this, or if I could get out of this place, or out of this marriage, or out of this job, then I would be at peace. No, because you take you with you. And if the trouble's inside you, then you're taking it with you. Jesus said, where you are right now, because think back to the scene. The demons know that Jesus will not let them go into another person. So they say, well, how about the pigs? Could we go into the pigs? So the pigs go squealing up the top of the cliff and dive into the ocean. So there's chaos there. There's chaos with all the people who've been working with the pigs. They run back into town and like, you know, we just lost our day job. The only place there's peace is at the feet of Jesus. Mm. Everywhere else is chaos, but at the feet of Jesus, we're told the man is found clothed and in his right mind. And sometimes I think we look at our lives and we think, how did I get here? When I was a student in London, I took a day off and went to one of the parks, and I had a sandwich and I was just sitting, people watching. And I noticed this man sitting across from me, and I could tell he was probably homeless. He had two or three plastic sacks, and he had a coat tied together with a piece of rope. And he wouldn't make eye contact with me, but I started praying for him, because I thought, you know, I don't know his story, Father, but you know every line. And then he suddenly looked up and he smiled. So I went over to him and I said, you know, do you mind if I join you? And he said, no, sure. And I said, have you eaten? And he said, no. And I said, well, I could have my sandwich. So we sat in kind of pleasant silence for a few minutes. And then he said, so what are you doing? And I said, I'm a student at seminary. I want to be a missionary. And he said, well, that's a very noble quest. And I said, do you mind if I ask about your life? And this man told me that he had been, Harley Street in London is the street for our private doctors. It's the most highly paid physicians in England. They're the best of the best of the best. He used to be a Harley Street physician, but through alcohol and prescription abuse, he had lost his job, he'd lost his family, he'd lost his home. He was now living on the streets that used to be paved with gold for him. And the line that really arrested me was, he said that one day he was walking down Oxford Street and he saw in a mirror a reflection of this filthy, unkempt man. And he said, I suddenly realized as my disgust rose, it was me. And I thought, this is what I have become. And I think of that with the man that Jesus delivered. But I also think of people right now who think, how did I get here? This isn't what I thought my life would be like. How did I get to this place? And some people think, you know what, I just got to hold on till I get to heaven. And Jesus said, no, I've come to give you life now. You can know it now in the midst of the best days and the worst days. You can know the peace of Christ, the risen Christ, now.
You know, when I listen to Sheila and she's talking in the beautiful accent that we all in Texas desperately need, just any nearly appropriate English would be nice. But we listen to her talking about her homeland, and I think about the people who are watching in the United Kingdom and how blessed I was recently to see the King's speech. And for many reasons, Betty, the butterfly effect that we told people how important you are, the speech therapist for the King was the butterfly. He was the unseen, perhaps most important, as you are. But I also saw something else in watching the people in Great Britain. I saw a sincere desire to honor royalty, even though they realized they reorganized the power structure. And they would agree, I'm sure, more appropriately than it had ever been with the monarchy, but yet they wanted to keep that honor of royalty. And their desire to honor it, it said something to me that we're really lacking a lot of times is a desire to honor others. Well, let me just say to you, in the UK and here in the United States and in Canada and Australia and all over the world, it's honoring royalty that is so desperately needed. Because the king, establishing his kingdom rule in your heart, wherever you are, he wants to bring the king's presence into the place where you live with all of its peace, with the love and the grace that your heart longs for, and with the divine direction that in presenting your body to him, that you could be not conformed anymore to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind by the truth and the Word of God, that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I found that as a teenager, and now I'm 67, and it's still so true. And as I've looked back over my journey and all of the times that I've stumbled, and the king was there and the shepherd was there to lift me up. Listen, Sheila, it's so wonderful that when Jesus the shepherd had 99 that were safe in the fold, he was out looking for you. He was looking for the one that wasn't secure and safe. And let me tell you what he does when he really gets to you. He'll show you how you too can join him to go out for everyone that's not secure, that's not in his arms. Father, I pray for everyone listening today that they'll find the shelter in the storm, that they'll find the peace that passes understanding, that even today they say, Lord, I give you my life, be my king, be my Lord, I want to experience your peace and your presence. In Jesus' name, I pray that for you. Right where you are, I do want to remind you this wonderful book, an incredible study guide. I mean, this is just awesome. It's in the bookstores, and you can go online, and I'll just simply tell you, we would be glad. We're trying to feed another 500,000 children that are hungry, and they may not even live. They don't even know if they're going to be around next week. But we can give them a tomorrow. We can give them a future. If you'll help us do that, I'd be glad to send you, you know, Sheila's book. Betty and I'd want to do that along with God's Kingdom in You, a teaching series that we did with Beth Moore, and we just love to be a blessing to you. Sheila, I just really appreciate you. You've been such a blessing, and you've always been really a partner with us in all God's called us to do. And like so many of the viewers that are watching us right now, I want to show you, and you're going to be blessed by this, Sheila. I want to show you right now some images of need, some place where the shepherd needs to go and put his arms around someone that hurts. You can be those hands and those arms. You really can be. And I would ask that not be a single one of you to say, what can I do to show somebody God's love and give them a chance? I want you to watch.
Africa, what an incredible place. What beautiful people. Their fight for survival. Oh, how they fight for life. But every 6 seconds, a child here is losing that fight. It's not right. Such injustice. Every 6 seconds, malnutrition takes another child here. It seems hopeless. Is it hopeless? Every 6 seconds. God, what are you saying here? What is your heart for this situation? Every 6 seconds. You're bigger than this. I know your arms are long enough. Every 6 seconds. Rescue them. We have to rescue them. What is my part? Another child. We have to stop it. It's not hopeless. It can't be hopeless. But another one. This isn't an incurable disease. It's food. It's so simple. It's food. God, if there's anywhere in the world that your heart runs to, I know this is it. These innocent children. Oh, how you love them. We can do this. I know it's your will. We can do this.
Please, help us turn back the clock.
Ooh, Tammy, listen, Tammy. She lost her husband years ago, just drowned, young couple. Tammy, I see Jesus in you all the time. Thank you. Thank you for putting God's arms around those children. I'd hold every kid I could in the world. God, I mean, I'm just such a mere person. And imagine how God wants to do that. And He can. But He does it through us, Betty.
That's right.
I looked at those little groupings of children. Well, she finally went to one, but there were, you know, I think there may have been, maybe there were 10. Yeah, but we can feed 10 kids for the $100. We can feed 5 for 50 and 3 for 30. I don't know what somebody can do, but it's like, you know, Tammy was talking about the needs. She said, you go get them and we can do something. She looked straight at us. And, Betty, we're going to hold as many of them as we can. And you know what God's put on our heart to do? That's why we've gone all over the world to see a need that love could meet. Mm-hmm. That's what we're asking you to do, is just dial the phone number and make the greatest gift you can to give them the greatest gift there is. And that's a chance at life. And we're going to tell them about the love of God, but we're going to show them before we talk it. We're going to demonstrate it. But the missionaries are helpless without us enabling them. I'm praying there wouldn't be a viewer anywhere in the world that wouldn't help us.
Me too, James. And Tammy said it so well. God is big enough. His arms are long enough. And He wants us to be an extension of His love and His heart and His arms to reach around these children and say, here's help. Here's what you need. Will you join with us and let's be a part of that together so that we can make the difference in life and death in these children?
How do you know, Betty, we just started our mission feeding emphasis, and we'll go for, you know, several days, actually even a few weeks, to try to raise funds to feed a 500,000 children that the missionaries have already found in desperate need. And all they need is something in their hands to put in those children to get into their little systems to save their lives and stabilize their families. And a lot of times when we start talking about Betty, it's like people watch for a few days or a week. I wish everybody would start today. I'm not going to wait till the end of something. I want to start something new. I wish we could all respond so much that we call the missionaries and say, go find some more. Kind of like Jesus saying, go find another sheep outside the fold. Go get them. It's my heart. Would you help us do that today? Would you dial the number, take your bank card and use it like a check? If you could help us take care of 10 children, give a $100 gift or more. Take care of 100, give 1,000, or help us take care of 5 or 3 with a gift of 50 or 30. We want to send you the incredible teaching series that about God's kingdom in you, living in His presence in the present, not waiting for then. Now, we're going to have then forever, no enemy, no death, no disease, no sickness. We can have presence now and demonstrate His love now. We want to help you. We want to send you that series. But I'm asking you, you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. But you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Dial the number right now, please, and just say, here's my gift. You can help us. Take 10 of those kids, do it. But whatever you can do, hey, it's important to that child or those children. Please don't turn away. Reach out. We really are His hands. Thank you for making that call.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with Scripture Guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
I don't know if you can see just how long this line is. There are hundreds of kids, and they're lined up to get a bowl of food, which they get every day. But I know, Betty, a prayer of yours too is that our line would be greater than their line. You know, that we would run to get in line to say, pick me, I want to help, I want to do something. That's our prayer today, is that just like these children are running to get in line to get a bowl of food, that you would also consider running in line right now and partnering with us, Life Outreach Mission Feeding Program. This is where life begins, and we get the chance to make that happen for them. Won't you join with me today?
You know, I'd really love you to get the DVD series and the study guide, and also we'll be sending Jim Hilton's book. It's tremendous. The Supernatural Skyline, where heaven touches earth. If you help us take care of at least 10 children if you can. I mean, glad to send you the CD series, but, you know, for your gift to help us. But today, if you're impressed to help and like to have Sheila's book, it's right in line with what we're talking about, the shelter of God's promises. Fabulous. You just help us help these children find shelter, and we'll be so glad to send all of this to you to bless you. But I know you're not ever giving to get a gift. We want to give to you because we love you. We want you to have spiritual nourishment just like we want to give physical nourishment. And Sheila's going to be back with us tomorrow in the program. You want to join Betty and me in just saying thanks to Sheila? We love you, Sheila. Thank you. Thank you.
I want to say it again because I believe it with all of my heart. You can live with pain more than you can live with purposelessness.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.